Well, this morning we are in James chapter 3 as we continue our trek through the New Testament book of James. This morning we will be looking in verses 13 through 18. Remember, the theme of the book of James is living out your faith. Up to this point, James has talked about living out your faith in a number of different ways, right? He's talked about living out your faith when it comes to trials, living out your faith through temptations, living out your faith through the truth of the Word of God or in obedience to the Word of God. He's talked about living out your faith through loving and ministering to those who are in need and who have no means to repay you. He's talked about living out your faith through your works. And last week we talked about how James says we need to live out our faith through our tongue, through our words, through what comes out of our mouth. And now in verses 13 through 18 of the third chapter of James, he's going to discuss living out your faith through or in exercising wisdom. To be wise is to be blessed. I think we would all agree with that. One of the things that I think none of us would say that we have enough of is wisdom. That wisdom is one of those attributes, one of those things that we could all certainly use more of. And Scripture speaks very clearly to the importance of wisdom, to the importance of having wisdom, to the importance of seeking wisdom. For example, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, it says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding." So if you want to be blessed, the more wisdom that you have, the greater the blessing in your life will be. It goes on to say in Proverbs 3, in verse 14, For the profit of wisdom is better than the profit of silver, and her gain is better than that of fine gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire compares with her." One of the greatest treasures, one of the greatest blessings, Scripture says, that you will have in life is the blessing of wisdom. Verse 15 there in Proverbs 3 says, "Nothing you desire will compare with wisdom." In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, we are told to seek for wisdom, search for wisdom, like we would search or seek after a hidden treasure. And the point being, all throughout Scripture, wisdom is considered incredibly valuable, incredibly profitable. If you want to be blessed, one of the ways that God is going to bless you is with wisdom. Wisdom has value. Wisdom has a blessing for us that will prove to be very profitable for our life. And that's what James picks up on here in his book. In James chapter 3, in verses 13 through 18, James is going to speak towards wisdom. And he is going to speak towards wisdom as a way of expressing our faith, as a way of expressing a faith that we have in Jesus Christ, and that a wisdom that is being expressed will again prove to be evidence that we indeed have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation. So let's read James chapter 3, if you have a Bible with you, verses 13 through 18, or we'll have it up on the screens as well. This is what James says, beginning with verse 13 of chapter 3. "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. For the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Before we get into the specifics of this text, let's take a moment to get an understanding of biblical wisdom and how the Bible speaks of wisdom and what it really means to be wise. And that's how I'm going to begin this morning with your outline if you want to take notes. Understanding biblical wisdom. And in short, biblical wisdom is applying truth to everyday life. It is taking knowledge, it's taking understanding, it's taking truth that God has revealed to us, given to us through His Word, and then it is applying that truth. It is putting that truth into practice. It is more behavioral than intellectual. When it comes to biblical wisdom is more behavioral than intellectual. For sure, wisdom consists of knowledge and it consists of understanding. Biblical wisdom is knowing and it's understanding truth. But biblical wisdom becomes that which profits you, become that which blesses you when it is applied. So it's not just acquiring knowledge, it's not just acquiring understanding. It certainly includes that. But it is when you take that understanding, when you take that knowledge, when you take that truth and then apply it, use it, put it into practice, that it becomes wisdom. Once you know and understand truth, wisdom then is living that truth, putting that truth into practice. This is why I say that it's more behavioral than intellectual. It's important to understand, wisdom is not just knowing everything. As a matter of fact, wisdom will tell you that it doesn't know everything. So when we talk about biblical wisdom, or when Scripture talks about biblical wisdom, having wisdom doesn't mean that you know everything in the world. Having wisdom doesn't mean that you understand everything about why God does what He does, or this is the reason God is doing this, or this is why this is happening. As a matter of fact, wisdom will sometimes step back and say, I have no idea why God is doing this. I have no idea. I don't pretend to know all of the insights and the full understanding of how God does what He does or why always God acts in ways that He acts. But biblical wisdom is saying, what I will do is I will take the truth of what God has revealed to me, and then I will apply that truth and navigate through life using that truth in ways that will prove to be profitable, in ways that will prove to be a blessing. Biblical wisdom is a lot like being a good driver. Now, there's all kinds of different drivers out on the roadways, right? There are some who are applying wisdom, and there's some who are not applying wisdom. But being a good driver is like having biblical wisdom. So in other words, when you're going to be out on the roadways and you're going to be a good driver, it's going to be important that you're alert. It's going to be important that you know the rules or the laws of the road. It's going to be important that you make right and appropriate responses to ever-changing scenes and to those around you. What's not necessarily important is you don't have to know why the highway engineers put an S-curve at this point in the highway, or why they put an entry ramp at this point, or why they put a traffic light at that point. It's not important or imperative that you have that kind of understanding. What's important is that you respond to that S-curve, or you respond to that traffic light, or you respond to that person driving in front of you at the speed that they're driving with the appropriate rules and understandings of how you need to respond in a manner that will allow you to be safe and to keep others around you safe. That's what biblical wisdom is. It is taking the truths, it is taking the laws, it is taking the commands, it is taking the insights that God has given you and me through His Word, through relationship with Him, and then applying those as we drive through life. It's applying those truths as we face ever-changing scenery, as we face ever-changing situations, as we face ever-changing scenarios, it's not always important to know why God is doing this or the reason behind why God is doing that, as much as it is important to know if this is what God is doing, then how do I need to appropriately respond to that in a way that will not only bless me, but bless those around me. Because if you've ever been on a highway or on a roadway, you know that it's important that you not only are a blessing to yourself, but you're a blessing to those around you. Because you can just as well not only harm yourself, but you can hurt or harm someone around you. And that's biblical wisdom. Living life in a way that proves not only to be a blessing to yourself, but being a blessing to those around you. When talking about biblical wisdom, it's important to understand that number two there in your outline, wisdom comes from God and is given in relationship with God. It's impossible to have wisdom apart from God and apart from being in a relationship with Him. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Proverbs 9:10 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So if you try to acquire wisdom, if you try to gain wisdom apart from God, then you will fail miserably. Because whatever you have will not be a wisdom that will truly be that which will bless you and bless those around you. True wisdom lies with God and God alone. And in order to gain this wisdom, we have to be in a relationship with Him. We have to be in a relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that I referenced on your outline, says, "By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God." So by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. So when we are in relationship with Christ, He has become to us wisdom from God. So if you want to have the wisdom that comes from God, that will only be granted to you fully and completely when you are in relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And so that is what James is talking about here. He's talking about if you have a genuine saving faith with Christ, then that is going to be expressed through wisdom. That's going to be expressed in the wisdom that you live and lead your life with. Once we are in Christ and we seek to grow in this wisdom that comes from God, the number three I put on your outline, wisdom is found within the Word of God. If we want to really grow in this wisdom, and we want to grow as God helps us better understand what it means to live life, to navigate life in a way that is going to be profitable not only to us, but to those around us, then we're going to find that wisdom in the Word of God. Psalm 110, verse 97 through 100, I referenced on your outline, says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts." And so the writer here of Psalms is just saying, I have wisdom because I meditate on God's Word. I have wisdom because I take God's commandments and I make them mine. I have wisdom because I take the testimonies of God and I think about them. I ponder them. I meditate upon them. I observe them and I apply them to my life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we are told, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." So if we are going to teach and admonish others with wisdom, where is that wisdom going to come from? The Word of Christ, as it richly dwells within us. So the more this Word, the more this truth is richly dwelling within us, the more wisdom we are going to have. And the fourth thing we need to know about wisdom is this: wisdom is given by asking God. Wisdom is given by asking God. It is given to those who pray for it and who ask God for it. Early in James chapter 1, verse 5 that we read several months ago, James says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So if you want wisdom, then ask God for wisdom. Ask the source, who is God, for the wisdom that you seek. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7 is where we read how God came to Solomon and God told Solomon, "Ask from me anything that you wish, and it will be granted unto you." And out of all the things Solomon could have asked for, Solomon asks for wisdom. Wisdom to lead and to govern the people of God. And God was blessed, or God was pleased with Solomon's request. And God granted Solomon great wisdom. God is pleased by the request for his wisdom, and he wants to generously give wisdom to those who earnestly seek for it and ask for it. And that gets to the wisdom that James is talking about here in his letter. James is telling us that godly wisdom is an expression of our saving faith. And just like James says that works will be the evidence of our faith, so too he says wisdom will serve as an evidence of our faith. If you have wisdom, he says, then there will be evidence of it. And in verse 13 of James 3, James gives us the evidence of having wisdom. So that's Roman numeral number 2 there in your outline, the evidence of wisdom. And look what he says here in verse 13. I think your outline actually says verse 14, but that was just a little typo. That should say verse 13. But in verse 13, he kicks off his discussion about wisdom with a question. And he simply asks this, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" He says, "Who among you thinks that he has wisdom, that he has understanding?" And then he answers his own question, because it's a rhetorical question, with, "If you have wisdom, then it will be seen." Just like he's saying, if you have faith, it will be seen. If you have wisdom, it will be seen. It will show up. It will be evidence. And he says, here's the evidence of wisdom. It will be seen in your good behavior. He says there in verse 13, he says, "Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom." So he says it's going to show up in your behavior. If you truly have wisdom, it will be seen in the way that you act. This is why I said earlier that wisdom is more behavioral than intellectual. Because if it doesn't show up in your behavior, then it's not wisdom. It's not biblical wisdom. Wisdom is applying God's truth to real life. And in a few verses later that we'll look at in a moment, James goes into the specifics of what this good behavior looks like. Then he also says that the evidence of your wisdom, number 2 there, will be seen in your gentleness, i.e. your meekness and your humility. In the very last part of verse 13, he says, in the gentleness of wisdom. The word gentleness is a word that literally means gentle strength. It sometimes is translated meek or humble. It's a strength that has been brought under control. It's a word that was often used of a wild horse that had been broken or had been tamed and brought under the strength or the control of his owner. It's not that the horse ever lost his strength. It's that the strength of that horse is now under control. The strength of that horse has now been brought under the control of the one who owns him. In the same way, James is saying wisdom is powerful. It's not a power that is reckless. It's not a power that is harmful. It's not a power that is dangerous. It's a power that is helpful. It's a power that blesses those around it. It blesses those who are recipients of it. That's why he says, if you have wisdom, it will be seen in your behavior and in your gentleness, in your strength that is on display as it is under the control of your master, of the one who now is Lord of your life. That is Jesus Christ himself. So the question that James wants us to ponder, the question that James wants us to consider this morning is this. Do you have the kind of wisdom in your life that is being expressed by the faith that you have in Christ? So does your faith in Christ show itself by the wisdom that you are living your life with? And in the next five verses, James discusses the specifics of wisdom being the evidence of your faith. Wisdom being the evidence of your faith. That's Roman numeral 3 there in your outline. Wisdom as evidence of your faith. And in the verses that are there, verses 14 through 18, James gives two contrasting pictures of wisdom. In verses 14 through 16, he says that there is a kind of wisdom that some people have and employ that is not biblical wisdom, or that certainly shows that they don't have the kind of saving faith that produces the biblical wisdom that Scripture talks about. To live according to a worldly wisdom or a natural wisdom or a demonic wisdom, as James describes it, is a sign that you don't really have a kind of faith in Jesus Christ that brings salvation. So James lists three signs against saving faith wisdom. Three signs, he says, that are against the fact that you have a saving faith if these signs are proving to be ever evident in your life, or that they are consistently the way that you are choosing to live your life according to. So signs against saving faith wisdom, A there in your outline. And the first sign that you don't have the kind of wisdom that saving faith in Christ produces is number one there, you live for yourself. You live for self. If your wisdom is that which says, I am living my life for me, I am living my life for my own self-advancement and for my own self-pleasure, and I don't really care about anything or anyone else, that I am on the throne of my life and I am king, I am Lord of my own life, and no one else really matters that much to me, at least not near as much as me matters to me, then he says that is evidence that you are living according to a wisdom that does not come from God and that is not a product of saving faith relationship in Jesus Christ. That is why he says in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. That is, if you are living for yourself, when he says bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, I put on your outline there, bitter jealousy is resentment towards the well-being of others. When you do a word study on bitter jealousy is the worst kind of jealousy. And the core of this word or this phrase means that you hate to see others have success. You hate to see others have more success than you, or you hate to see others have blessings in their life that perhaps maybe you don't have. And you constantly resist, or you are bitter, resenting those who have been given blessings, who have been given things that you feel like you are more deserving of. So you're never happy for the well-being of others. You see others being blessed in some way and you resent it because you want that to be you. And so rather than rejoicing with those who rejoice, you are bitter towards them for their blessing that they have received or for the success that they have achieved. Selfish ambition is getting or is putting yourself above all else. It's getting yourself ahead of the rest of the crowd. It is always putting yourself first. Selfish ambition is the opposite of humility. It's the opposite of being loving. It's the opposite of being selfless that we're called to be in Scripture. Rather than seeking the good of others, you only seek for your own well-being, and you're only willing to do what is good for you, what benefits you, what positions you to receive the best and the things that the world has to offer. James says that bitter jealousy and selfish ambition are signs of arrogance and self-centeredness. And these are evidence not for your faith, but against your faith. So see on your outline, it says arrogance and self-centeredness will always be evidence against the saving faith rather than for a saving faith. And that is why he says, if selfish ambition and bitter jealousy are a part of your life, if that's what is characterizing your life, then he says you are lying against the truth. In other words, he says, if you think that you have a kind of salvation that saving faith produces, then he says, then you're lying to yourself because you're deceived and you do not have the kind of faith that brings salvation, because these are not the kind of lifestyles or characteristic of the lifestyle of those who truly are in Christ. If you are living by self-centered wisdom rather than being characterized by godly wisdom, I put number two, your life is characterized by what James calls earthly, natural, and demonic. Earthly, natural, and demonic. That's why it says in verse 15, this wisdom, the kind of wisdom that is characterized by bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, he says, is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly, it's natural, it's demonic. Earthly, which is just another word for worldly, is living foolishly apart from the ways of God. Earthly says, I don't care what God has to say. I don't care what His truth says. I don't care what His ways say. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to do what I think is right. I'm going to do according to what I believe to be true rather than what God says is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. And yet, earthly says, I'm going to live according to the wisdom of the world. Natural is that which is void of the supernatural Spirit of God. In other words, there's no evidence of God producing in you a godly wisdom because you're living according to the ways of the world. It's a natural way to live rather than what God has called us to live by the power of His Spirit, which is supernatural. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, Paul is saying a natural man, someone who has not really been redeemed, who has not really been brought into a saving faith relationship with Jesus, who has not been made new, he is going to reject the things of God because they are foolishness to him. They don't make sense to him because they're supernatural. And he's thinking, well, that's not going to work. That doesn't make sense to me that you would do it that way. And so he's going to revert to the ways of the world. They're going to be natural ways rather than supernatural ways of living. And demonic is living in a way that is completely contrary to that of God. When you are living in a demonic way, in a way that's completely contrary to that of God, you're saying, God, I want to live my life completely opposite of you. It is more in line with what the demonic realm, with what that which is under the realm or the control of Satan is living, according to lies and deceit rather than according to truth. And a third sign that you do not have the wisdom of God is that number three there, your life is in disarray and it's void of righteousness. If your life is in disarray and it's void of righteousness, then James says that's a sign that you are not living according to the wisdom of the world, but you're living according to the wisdom of that which is earthly and natural and demonic. That's why it says in verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. When your life is characterized by disorder, by instability, it's in a state of disarray, and the result is unrighteousness, and there's more unrighteousness in your life, and you're making choices and decisions that are outside of the will of God, that are not in accordance with the truth of what God has given to us and told us to live, then the result is going to be disarray, it's going to be unrighteousness, and it is going to be a life that is ultimately a mess, because that is what the wisdom of the world will always produce. Is a mess rather than blessing, rather than being profitable, rather than blessing yourself and those around you. You will only do harm to yourself and you will do harm to those around you. Then in verse 17 and 18, James gives us, be there in your outline, signs for saving faith wisdom. So he runs through nine different specifics, he will, of here are the signs of the good behavior that he spoke of back up in 13. Here are the signs of the gentleness that he spoke of, the power under control that he spoke of back up in verse 13. He says there are going to be some evidences, some very clear signs that you have put your faith in Christ, and that faith in Christ is now producing a godly wisdom that is being applied to all facets of your life. And so in verses 17 and 18, he says the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's reasonable, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's unwavering, it's without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so let's just run through these quickly. A life characterized by godly wisdom that results and good behavior and deeds of gentleness will look like this. He says your life, number one, will be a life of purity. He says you will live a life of purity. In other words, when people look at your life, what they're not going to see is unrighteousness, but they're going to see righteousness. Your life is going to be characterized by godliness. They're going to look at your life and they're going to see a life that has been brought under the control, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and you are living a life of purity. You are living a life of righteousness. It's not that you're perfect. It's not that you don't make mistakes, but that your life is going to be characterized by that which represents God and His truth and His word, and that lifestyle is going to be more representative of who you are than a lifestyle of unrighteousness. Number two, it says you are peaceable. It says there's going to be a peace about you. Peaceable just means that you seek to remove strife rather than create it. In other words, you're not one who wants to instigate strife or instigate discord or instigate being at odds with others. You want to seek to remove that strife. You're peaceable rather than create it. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And that's what your life is going to be characterized by. Your life is going to be characterized by, I want to live at peace with others. I want to always be the one who takes the responsibility to do whatever I need to do, if at all possible, according to the truth of God's word, to make sure that I am living at peace with others rather than at odds with others. Number three, he says you're gentle. A sign that you are applying godly wisdom is that you are gentle. And the word gentle that is used here is actually a different Greek word than the one that he used back up in 13. And this word gentle just means that you are slow to anger and that you do not seek the harm of others who have hurt you. In other words, you are not one who wants to exact revenge. Godly wisdom says, I'm not going to exact revenge. Even when I'm hurt, even when I'm harmed by someone, even when someone does something wrong to me, my response is not going to be, I will do wrong to them. My response is not going to be, well, if they did that to me, then I will be able to now do that to them. That's not a godly wisdom. Romans 12:19 tells us, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Number four, you're reasonable. A sign that you are applying godly wisdom is that you are reasonable. This means that you are flexible, you're cooperative, you're understanding. It means that you're not stubborn and that you're not just stuck in your ways and it's only your way or the highway, but that you're willing to be reasonable. You're willing to be flexible. You're willing to be cooperative when you can be. You're willing to be understanding of others and their needs. A great example I put on your outline here is Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 and 9 of Abraham. When Abraham was with Lot and they're their herds had become too large for them to stay together. And even though God had promised Abraham, all of this land that you're walking on will be yours, when it came time, he didn't demand Lot to go where he told him to go. He said, Lot, you look around. And if you choose to go to the east, then I'll go to the west. If you choose to go to the north, I'll go to the south. He says, whatever way you choose, then I'll go opposite. And he was very reasonable, putting others ahead of his own needs. Number five, you are merciful. James says, you display godly wisdom when you are merciful. In other words, you demonstrate compassion and you demonstrate kindness. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, Jesus says. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. So your life is characterized by forgiveness rather than revenge. Number six, you are bountiful. A sign that you are applying godly wisdom, James says, is you are bountiful. He says you are full of good fruits. This means that you are a blessing to others and you minister to their needs. Again, rather than being a harm to others, you prove to be a blessing to others. Acts 9:36 talks about a woman named Tabitha, or in Greek she's called Dorcas. But it says this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. That is godly wisdom, when your life is evidenced by being bountiful in good deeds, bountiful in good works. Number seven, you are unwavering. You are unwavering. James says that a sign that you are applying godly wisdom is that you stand firm in the truth and in your God-given conviction. Yes, you can be flexible, you can be reasonable, but when it comes to the truth of God's word, or it comes to faith in Christ, you are unwavering. You do not waver from your faith. You stand firm in your faith in the truth of what God's word teaches. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Number eight, you are without hypocrisy, James says. When it comes to godly wisdom, that means your life is sincere. You are sincere in your faith and you live what you claim to believe. You do not say one thing and then do another. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And that's what godly wisdom says, is I'm going to be sincere in my faith. And then the last one he says is that you are just simply producing the fruit of righteousness. You are producing the fruit of righteousness. He says your life is reflecting Christ. He says your fruit is that of righteousness. You, the seed of wisdom that has been planted in you by God is producing righteousness. It is being sown in the fertile ground of peace with God. And now that wisdom is showing itself in the form of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that on our behalf we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that is what godly wisdom is saying. I want to live righteously with the truth of who I am in Christ and the truth of what God's word says. The question for us today is simply this. Is your life of faith in Jesus Christ being expressed by wisdom? By godly wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world. Not the wisdom that is natural, earthly, demonic. But the wisdom that comes from God through a relationship with him in Jesus Christ. Because that is going to be another evidence, another sign that our faith in Christ is genuine. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, again we pray that you would help us to live out our faith by the godly wisdom that comes from knowing you, being in relationship with you. God, I pray that you would manifest within us a wisdom that is evidence of the new creation that you have made us to be in Jesus Christ. And we'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.